I speak to you in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
Well, it's a delight and an honor to be with you this morning, to be able to join with you in worship, to be able to join as we confirm these three people who are reaffirming their baptismal vows, and for two of them, becoming adults in the life of the church. Also, great to be with, to see so many people out here. Obviously, I wore the wrong sort of hat. I was thinking as I was looking around that today I'm kind of the in the odd way out, because I'm carrying a shepherd's staff and wearing a pointy hat and no cowboy boots. I forgot my cowboy boots, and so I'm doing the shepherd thing. Does that count for Stampede? Isn't that what they do? Is they run the sheep through the city and then they? Yeah. Years ago, back in 2006, when Derek Hoskin was first consecrated bishop here, and I was bishop in Qu'Appelle a few months before him, and I was teasing him because I was saying that, in the life of the church, what we like to do is to do this thing called enculturation. We want to adjust the life of the church to the local culture, and I said to him, what we need to do is get rid of that mitre and staff and the cope, and what we should get you is the cowboy hat, a lariat, and a pair of chaps, and then that could be your new bishop garb. What do you think? Yeah, that would be the Calgary bishop garb. Well, yeah, we haven't done that. So here I am with the shepherd stuff in the midst of the cow folk. What can I say? Well, it'll be a fun day, anyways. It's a fun day, anyways. And I'm not sure how to fit the stampede into today's thing, so I just, I hope that that's, is that okay?
It's okay if okay, we
do because I was thinking
things.
Of all the stuff, and then I was thinking, I'm not sure how to get the stampede into the sermon, so I apologize. Although if I think of something along the way, I'll let you know. It might come to me. But today, we are having a confirmation, and we've been given these readings just out of the lectionary, and it's always good for us to have our readings directed by the lectionary rather than hand-picking them, because they often tell us things that we wouldn't necessarily have thought to say or to talk about, but that rather the Spirit of God wants us to consider. And I think that that is probably the case for today. And I want to start off by just observing that, we have that great gospel reading of talking about Jesus going to his hometown, and people are kind of amazed at his teaching. But then immediately they start going, well, wait a minute. Isn't this guy, didn't he grow up here? Don't we, we know his family, we know his brothers, we know his sisters are here. And so they, quote, take offense at him. And it tells us that Jesus could do no deed of power amongst them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. But he said to them that a prophet is not without honor except in their hometown. Now, I always think that these kinds of these stories from the gospel about Jesus that go in this direction are really, really important. Because I think that if you actually guess, if I hadn't started by saying all this, and if I had said to you all, tell me some of the things that Jesus did, what would you come up with? He healed people. Yeah, he did miracles. He taught. How many of you would have said, oh, Jesus, that's right, he was rejected by his hometown. right? Oh, yeah, Jesus, that's right. The authorities hated him. that Jesus didn't have a place to stay because he just went on a nomadic ministry and stayed wherever people would give him a place to stay, We think about, and we do this naturally, don't we, as human beings, we think about the great and the glorious and the wonderful stuff. We think about the stuff that we want to celebrate. And what do we do in our culture, right? Do we give out Oscar awards for the movies that tried their best? No, they don't even get on the list, right? They get the mention from the critics or something. And in sports, we give out award to the player who who steadfastly warmed the bench. No, we don't. If we go with the player who most bravely put up with injury. No, we don't. How about the best dive at the soccer, at the FIFA soccer set? Anybody been keeping track of the best? There's got to be some soccer fans here. Yeah. Have you got the best? Have you figured out the best dive so far? There's some really great stuff. There's some great ones. Yeah. They should go to Hollywood and try for an Oscar. They might get there, right? But we don't, right? We always focus on the achievement. And we want to affirm, and we talk about that, affirming people, right? We want to affirm their strengths and their gifts. And, wow, that person is talented. And we dream to be, you know, we dream to be the one who does the great deed, the one who gets the award, the one who accomplished something marvelous, right? Yeah. And yet, the gospel story, when we read it carefully, always tells us, well, actually, that's really not how it works. It's how it works in human life. But when we are seeking to do what is right, when we are seeking to do what God intends for us in our lives, then the story is a much, much more mixed bag, isn't it? All sorts of stuff happens. Jesus sends out the disciples and he gives them authority to cast out demons and to cure the sick. And out they go, and what does he say to them as they're going? Oh, yeah, and if people reject you, not surprising, hey? Jesus has just been in his hometown, and they've just rejected him, and so, but, you know, the instruction, you've got authority, and yes, you know what? People are going to, you're going to get rejected. Yeah. Anybody put that on their list? You know, when you're in school, you know, write those things, what do you see yourself doing in 20 years? Being rejected by my hometown. Yeah, it's a great, great thing to put on the list, yeah. But it's important. And the question might be for some of us, how does that rate as good news? Good news, right? A gospel. That's why we call it gospels, right? The gospel means good news. So it's all good news. It's all good news. Trust me, it's all good news. Yeah. So how is it good news? Well, it's good news because why is Jesus being rejected? For doing something bad? No, for doing the right thing, for doing what God has given him to do. And why would the disciples, if they are out on their journey, be rejected? Because they're proclaiming the kingdom of God and they're doing what they're supposed to do, and sometimes people reject that. How many people have lived lives that have just been sweet and easy all the way from beginning to end? Nobody here? Good, that's good. That makes you part of the human race, right? But the good news is about how we serve our Creator and our Savior in the midst of the reality of life, not the Hollywood airbrushed, edited version of life that always gets held up as sort of the ideal. The good news is that it is in striving to serve God and to follow in the footsteps of Jesus, even in the midst of the struggle, that God helps us to grow as human beings and changes our lives so that we become more what God wants us to be. And there's kind of the thing at the heart of it, isn't it? There's the thing at the heart of it. The human story, the narrative of our culture is to say, dream a big dream. What is it that you want to do? And pursue it. And the gospel says, dream God's dream and become what God wants you to be, and you'll have life. Gosh, you know, what a different kind of thing. And yet, that's the story of Jesus. The story of Jesus that we hold up before the world is not the story of the guy who won the Oscar or got the sports award or was hailed by the nations as the great, you know, bringer of peace, but the one who in his lifetime was so faithful to following in the way that God had put before him, was so faithful in being true to being the Son of God and the Son of Man, was so faithful to being true to God's will, that he endured rejection and suffering and grief and lived it in joy and grace and love. Interesting how you put all those together, hey? Joy and grace and love, the peacemaker, the Son of God, who lived all of it in the midst of rejection and suffering and hardship. And all for the pursuit of God's will and God's way for his life. See, that is what it means to be confirmed. That is what it means for us to be baptized as Christians. It is to be joined to Jesus Christ by the power of his Spirit and to walk in his way, in his steps, and to find the true joy and love and grace of God, not in fleeting and ethereal stuff of flashy award shows or the passing material things of this world, but to find joy and grace and love in the pursuit of the greatest treasure of all, which is the kingdom of God, the reign of God in our lives, God's will for us. The hard way is the precious way and the valuable way, the treasured way. The easy way is the way that leads to, well, the things that are here today and gone tomorrow. Those who are being confirmed today will be affirming baptismal vows. And just because, you know, the way the service goes, we ask simple questions and we provide the answers. It's the Anglican way. We don't take chances, you know. Here's your answer, but you'll have to make sure. We ask questions like, do you reaffirm your renunciation of evil? But if we were to look at the baptismal service that you're being reaffirming, it says, do you renounce Satan and all the spiritual forces of wickedness that rebel against God? Do you renounce all sinful, the powers of this world that corrupt and destroy the creatures of God? Do you renounce sinful desires that draw you from the love of God? And then we say a very simple question here this morning, which would be, do you reaffirm your commitment to Jesus Christ? Which reflects the baptismal formula, which says, do you turn to Jesus Christ and accept him as your Savior? Do you promise to obey him as your Lord? And do you put your whole trust in his grace and love? That's what's being affirmed. That's what's being affirmed. That's what it means to walk as an adult in the life of the church, to put before us the path that God invites us into, and to say, yes, I will do my best with the help of God, with the power of God's Spirit, I will do my best to walk this path. I will do my best to walk this path, even if it becomes complicated, even if it leads us to places where we experience rejection or even ridicule. I don't know if any of you have experienced that. I certainly do. I talk to people who think it's absolutely ridiculous that anybody in this day and age can believe in God. Anybody ever met anybody like that? Yeah. Yeah, and why would you bother on Sunday morning, for heaven's sakes? Because we all know that, you know, whatever we believe is true for us. Now, there is bad news, I got to tell you. There is bad news. You know, that sounds good, you know, whatever I believe is true for me. That is bad news. And you find it out the longer you go through life. If you adhere to that one, you're just toast. I'm sorry. I hope I don't offend anybody. But, you know, just saying. You buy into that, you will be in trouble. And staying true to the path that God lays before us. Spending our time, and I love the gesture of the prayer books, right? Because how do we figure what that is? We read our Bibles and we pray. That's what the prayer book directs us to do. I don't know if you all knew this, but the prayer books all will tell us that every morning we should start with prayer and every evening we should end with prayer. Prayer and scripture. That's the way, you know, so that we can constantly be opening ourselves, our lives are being directed to follow and to walk in the way of Jesus. I want to end by just touching on Paul's letter, because Paul, in the reading we heard this morning, exemplifies this story. I hope you were all listening carefully to the riveting advice that you could hear coming through from Paul. What does Paul have to say in this reading? He first of all starts off with what sounds kind of boastful. Did anybody think that was being a little? You gave him space because he's Paul, right? Yeah, he is Saint Paul after all, the great Saint Paul, right? So, and he talks about revelations and he talks about it in the third person, but we all know he's talking about himself, right? You know, I know a guy. Yeah. We all know that guy. It's you. Yeah. But the interesting thing is, what does he say that God gifted him with? A thorn in his flesh. Yeah. God, in order to keep me from being too elated. How many of you got up in the morning and thought to yourself, oh, please don't make me too happy today. I just really, that could be horrible. I just don't want to be too elated today, you know. Nobody gets up and does that, do you? Yeah. Just make it miserable, Lord. Give me a miserable day. No. But what is Paul actually saying when he's talking about this? Because Paul recognizes that the joy that he receives in his life of prayer and his understanding of the faith and the beautiful mission that God has given him is something that could also lead him to an inflated ego. Now, most of you probably have no trouble with that at all, right? Like, you know, we're all very humble people for the most part. But every once in a while, something can come along that sort of does a little bit of inflation on the ego front. Anybody experience? Yeah. You know, those moments where you say, I got this. Yeah. I have it in hand. You know, does everybody know what the word hubris means? That's a nice old word. Pride, yes, hubris, yeah. Hubris is that thing that says, I got it all under control. I'm doing it. It's all in hand. You know, I can accomplish this. Don't worry, I got it covered. Don't worry, God, I got it covered. You know, I'll look after things for you. It's great. You know, I understand. I know what needs doing here. We're just going to get it done, you know. Yeah. Yeah. The history is just full of these shining examples of hubris where human beings have been so sure we've got it right, and then generations spend time cleaning up the mess afterwards. Because hubris is all about the foolishness of our humanity in which we think we know better. And Paul says what? He says this remarkable thing. He says, I prayed to the Lord that God would take away this thorn. And what did God say to Paul? Paul says, he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Now, there's a line you will not hear quoted at any awards ceremony anywhere along the way. In church, we don't have awards ceremonies, so you can't. I'm just imagining we could have an awards ceremony, and Michael could get up and say, you know, I'd like to thank you all for the great thorn in the flesh that you provided for me this week. It was a remarkable turning point in my life. But listen to what Paul says. God says to him, "My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness." Because usually it's our pride and our own perception of our strength that gets in the way of what God can do with us. And it's only when we know our own frailty, our own weakness, and our own inabilities that we're able to be open to allowing God to work in us, to change us, to give us the strength, to transform us. And so I want to postulate that Paul, he had this great revelation, but the real joy of his life comes in knowing that he serves God in the midst of struggle and contention and suffering, and that he does it faithfully. Those of you who are being confirmed, that's what you're reaffirming today, is the following of God in faithfulness in the midst of whatever comes, and affirming that we turn away from what would draw us away from God, we turn towards what God is doing in our lives. And we receive it, even if it is about struggle and pain and suffering. There are many folks here who come from other parts of the world. How many folks have come from other parts of the world who are here today who have come to Canada in the last, say, 10 years? Yeah. Many people from other parts of the world, from the Anglican Church, know that life is not about how easy it is. Many know that the Christian journey in other parts of the world is a tough struggle because of the things that are faced. We, in our part of the world, have a tough struggle only because it is so easy that we get fooled into thinking that we've got it down. I pray that we can all come to that place that we hear Jesus in the Gospels, where he can, at the same time as he is rejoicing in sending out disciples to proclaim with power the good news of God's love, also recognize the struggle and the difficulty and rejoice nonetheless. And I pray for all of us that we can, with Paul, hear those words that God speaks to him. My grace is sufficient for you, and my power is made perfect in your weakness. May God so open our hearts that we allow his transforming power and grace to change us and lead us in the way of his love through this life. Amen.